I'd like to get into the Word a little bit. Today, I wanted to teach, and the name of this teaching is called, Don't Give It Away, Your Faith. Don't Give It Away, Your Faith. I want to share some principles on how faith works, and I'd like to share a couple of immutable laws that tie right into that. And the immutability of God is a teaching that we've done in the past, and you can look that up either on Finger on the Pulse or at rbrc.us. This expands a little bit on that, showing some of these laws in practice. God set these laws up so that He didn't need to be personally present for every single time that law needs to be activated or manifested. They just are always in place and always working. And that's part of God's immutability. They always will work when applied. We have control over our lives and the choices that we make. You know, sometimes we may feel like we don't, but we really do. There's a lot that we have control over. There's a lot that we have control over, especially in the choices that we make. And may we always hold fast to our righteousness, the choice to believe in our righteousness. And that's the purpose of this teaching, to show us how to hold fast to our righteousness. You can take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 4 if you'd like. The first immutable law is the law of faith. Faith must be mixed. Faith must be mixed with words in order for it to profit. That law is immutable. It always works. In Hebrews chapter 4, I'd like to read verse 2. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Faith must be mixed. It must be mixed with words in order for it to profit. There's an immutable law that ties in with this, and it's called the law of correspondence. And that law states that everything happening outside is a reflection of what's happening inside. Once faith is mixed with words and applied, it becomes very visible on the outside. Faith is a heavenly substance that we can mix with the words of God's Word. That's the principle of faith mixing. The next principle is the unmixing of faith. Because if there's a principle to mix it, there's also a principle to unmix it. And I'd like you to turn to 1 Samuel. We'll look at chapter 8. The principle is the unmixing of faith. There's an immutable law that ties in with this. Well, there's probably many, but I focus on, I believe, about 6 immutable laws in this teaching that are amazing with how God set them up. This is the law of motion. We're thinking about and studying the unmixing of faith right now. The law of motion states that for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. That means that forces always occur in pairs. In other words, when one body pushes against another, the second body pushes back just as hard. And if you want to take that into layman's terms in our lives, if one object is much more massive than the other, particularly in the case of our gift of Holy Spirit, virtually all of our stirred up acceleration, once we stir up that gift and get busy applying it, it's imparted to the second object, causing it to flee. So whenever you have two things at loggerheads with each other, one in action can cause the other to flee and reverse. Resist the devil and he shall flee. Does not the word say that? Yes. And so, the stirring up and the activation of our gift within us, in part due to this law of motion, causes rest and safety. Because when the devil is fleeing, we have rest and safety because we've resisted him. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, I'd like to read verse 3. You can read this whole chapter if you'd like, but this is speaking of Samuel. And Samuel was getting up in age, and his sons, he gave the leadership over to them. And in verse 3, it says, 1 Samuel chapter 8, and Samuel's sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. We're still looking at the unmixing of faith, and we're looking at the principle of the law of motion or the law of motion. There's an ongoing fight. We experience it all the time ourselves. There's an ongoing fight to stop people from walking in the ways of truth. God's archenemy will use and give anything at his disposal to win this turning aside fight. Samuel's sons gave their faith away. What they did was they actually detached it from what they learned from Samuel, and they reattached it to what they turned aside after. And that shows you the law of correspondence. It shows you the law of motion. It became visible. Their lifestyles became visible. They gave their faith away. They reattached it as they took what was being given them. This came at the cost of them walking in the ways of their father Samuel. They quit walking in the ways of their father Samuel, which was the way of God's word. And their actions, their choices caused a perverting of godly judgment. You can turn to Job chapter 5. Principle. Life is not a vacuum. Remember, don't give it away. These principles show the working of faith. They show how to apply it. They show the benefits of it. And they show the fight that we have. The principle that life is not a vacuum, because there is an immutable law, the law of vacuum. Vacuums in life, vacuums in the mind, vacuums on an empty shelf, an empty space, will get filled. It will happen. Job chapter 5, I'd like to read verse 6. In Job chapter 5 and verse 6, although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble, which is of the Hebrew word, maybe better translated, miserableness, spring out of the ground. So affliction, pressures, they can be mental and physical, emotional. They don't come from the dust. They're just not born out of the ground like a seed sprouting up. And neither is trouble or miserableness. Well, that means they have a source. They don't just happen. And they don't happen in a vacuum. But if there's a vacuum in the mind, they can fill that. And we just learned about resisting the devil and he shall flee. And we learned about how that you can mix and do, and it causes the fleeing of the other because of the strength and power behind the first. Well, trouble and affliction, they have a source. They don't just happen. They don't just spring out of the ground. Trouble and affliction are tools in the arsenal, the turning aside arsenal of God's archenemy. Trouble and affliction. Vacuums in life, in the mind, vacuums on an empty shelf, an empty spot, they will get filled. The principle here is that vacuums don't stay vacuum for long. We want to fill our mind up with what we choose to fill it up with. We have a choice. We have control over our lives and in the choices that we make. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. I want to show you more about the turning aside, because this is part of the unmixing. The unmixing. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 15, the word says, for some are already turned aside after Satan. For some are already turned aside after Satan. Satan is the redirector behind every turning aside from truth. His perverted goal is to fill the hands and minds with any and everything but truth. Safety is in the building of and renewing of God's Word in our minds. So that's our choice, to fill up our minds with God's Word. But we just saw in 1 Samuel chapter 8 what Samuel's sons turned aside after. There are many examples of what one could turn aside after. Principle. The vain jangling. There's an immutable law called the law of attraction. Again, these are laws that God set up. They work. They work all the time. And that law of attraction, the essence of it states that whatever you focus on, guess what it does? It grows. Whatever you focus on grows. That means that your attention to it will grow and shape your reality. That which is not seen becomes seen. When you think about the law of correspondence and you think about the strength that happens when a stronger object is pushed and moved, that makes the lesser object go away. Well, we never want the adversary's objects to be stronger. God's Word is stronger. We have the victory through Christ Jesus in any and all situations. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We have everything that we need from God's Word to best any situation in life. And I love that. And our safety is in the building of and renewing of God's Word in our mind. The vain jangling principle. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, go back a couple of chapters, I'd like to read verses 5 and 6 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. I did make that phrase up, vain jangling. It's in the Word. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, now the end of the commandment is agape, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. And that means believing without pretense, or believing not mixed with empty words that do not profit. Verse 6, from which, that believing without pretense, some having swerved, and swerve means to deviate from the truth. They swerved. They have turned aside unto vain jangling. So this is a very concise explanation of what turning aside is and the process that it happens. They've taken their believing, their faith, and they mixed it with something other than truth of God's Word. And so the result is very interesting, because vain jangling is empty words. It's empty words. Words without truth. These empty, profitless words are designed to redirect the hearer from all things truthful. And we know that the devil's goal is to corrupt everything that has anything to do with God. Turning aside to vain jangling is turning away from God's truth. It is turning aside to Satan, even if that's unbeknownst to the individual doing the turning. Words with truth produce agape behavior, a pure heart, good conscience, and unpretense faith. Principle. The hand to the plow. There's an immutable law that follows along with this. That's the immutable law is the law of relinquishment, to relinquish. The law states that letting go of what no longer serves you, it opens up and makes space for new opportunities and growth. It's like the vacuum in reverse, but you want to fill it up with the new opportunities and growth. That's the law of relinquishment. In Luke chapter 9, I'd like to read verse 62. So please turn to Luke chapter 9 in the Gospels. This principle, the hand to the plow, is something that I probably think about daily, keeping my hand to the plow and wanting to learn more about that. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, and Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, that means turning aside, same Greek word, is fit for the kingdom of God. And then in Luke chapter 14, turn a few books forward to Luke chapter 14. I'd like to read verse 27. Luke chapter 14, verse 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. This is the turning aside, but it's the turning aside to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He's out in front leading. It's to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there are those in Luke chapter 9 that look back to where their life was and decide not to put their hand to the plow. There are those in Luke chapter 14 who decide not to put their hand to the cross, to the accomplishments of our Lord Jesus Christ, and come after Him and follow and pursue their life into eternity. Cannot be my disciple, it says. The hand and mind kept to the plow is not open to taking the unending offerings of vain jangling. When you put your hand to the plow and your mind to the thoughts of God's Word, you don't want the vain jangling. You will not turn aside. You're going to cut straight furrows in the rows of your diligent work. Rather, they're open to the unending bountifulness of God's abundance, looking forward with great expectations to that which may appear invisible, but will one day be seen. The hand and mind to the plow is the individual's faith mixed with the belief of the accomplishments of Jesus Christ. It is the individual's heart attached to the words of the accomplishments of Jesus Christ. Be forward-looking to the things of Christ, keeping your faith mixed with its truth. That's putting the hand to the plow. John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, Jesus dealt with some of these same things. In verse 64, I'd like to read verses 64 to 69. John chapter 6, verse 64. But there are some of you that believe not. Remember we're talking about? Don't give it away. If they believe not in God, in God's Word, in the Lord Jesus Christ, they've already have their faith attached somewhere else. They believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. And He said, therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. This is a gift of God to come unto the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a gift that God gives. Can't happen without God's intervention and God's help. Verse 66, from that time many of the disciples went back. They turned aside. They walked no more with Him. You see how this flows through from the Old to the New Testament? Then said Jesus unto the 12 in verse 67, are you going to go away also? Are you turning aside also? It was rampant in His life that people turned aside. In fact, everybody turned aside. Even Peter, as that sixth crowing of the cock rooster. But Peter turned back. He turned back at the resurrection. Everything was cool. But you see the things that we all deal with in life. The fight out there to turn aside. And I want you to be so proud of yourselves because you're standing on God's Word. You're fighting that fight. And as we work through this teaching, we'll gain a perspective on what we really need to be focused on that's important to God. Because sometimes we focus on the fight, but God's got some other things to focus on. He wants us to be aware of it. That's the purpose of why we're doing this. Verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. This is the fight between the two beliefs. And Peter spoke correctly. Many disciples chose to walk away from what God gave them. They turned back to their religion and their ways of works and their laws, their rules, their regulations, their ordinances, their commandments of men, and standing to prove before somebody in a nice looking phylactery and robes and stuff, and going six times a day to some type of a prayer meeting, whatever they did, the Old Testament stuff. That was all done. It was all over on Pentecost. But here, Jesus was prepping people for what was coming, and even then they chose to walk away from him. For Christians today, the hand to the plow is the hand to the belief of the accomplishments of Jesus Christ. Never look behind to the past, rather be forward-looking to the things of Christ. God has an eternity of new growth and opportunities available. Oh, I could put like 10 verses in here, but walk in newness of life and all the cool things, right? We keep our faith attached to the truth that Christ is the Son of the living God. Be proud of yourselves because you're already doing these things. I'm just teaching the mechanics, the principles behind it, and a few of the laws that are immutable set up that work so that we can do these things. So some people say, I don't know what I can be thankful to God for. What about his immutable laws? That's why you're even able to draw breath. Yeah. Pretty crazy. And 1 Timothy chapter 5, as we close out this part, the principle, the hand to the plow. 1 Timothy chapter 5, I'd like to read verse 15, because I'm just setting the record straight. Verse 15, for some are already turned aside after Satan. That's what they're turning aside to. In every instance that they turned aside that I read, they turned aside unto Satan. And you can think about Job. You can think about the different things he went through. Satan presented himself to God, asked for Job's life. God says, don't take his life. It all comes from that. It all comes from that. And you can look at all the things he went through. Yeah, God has something greater for us to focus on. You see, they are turned aside. That means they follow. That word means to follow after, to follow after. Whether they knew it or not, they ended up following Satan. The turning aside is the choice made by the individual. The following is also a choice to follow vain janglings, words empty of truth. Principle, God's creativity. What a great principle. How creative our Heavenly Father is. The mutable law, there is a law of creativity. The law of creativity, everything that is real was imagined first. Creativity shapes reality. There's so much more to this law than that. But everything that is real was imagined first. Man, that gives God some great credit, doesn't it? Isn't that cool? There's another immutable law, the law of inspired action. They almost go hand in hand here. The law of inspired action, we must take action in order to manifest our reality. So you see the mixing of faith. You see the active doing. You see the safety and peace that comes from moving God's word. It pushes anything lesser out of the way because of the immutability of God's laws that he set up. We are safe in God's hands. The more we move God's word, the more we stand on God's word, the safer we are, no matter what it looks like on the outside. Sure. God's creativity. Philippians chapter 3. Let's turn back a couple of books. Philippians chapter 3. I'd like to read verse 13. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Oh, there's that word behind. I don't follow those things anymore. That empty, vain, jangling. I live my whole life like that. And I think about Paul, and I think out of all the people in the Bible, he's getting pretty close to the top of the list on things we know about an individual in his life. We know a lot about Paul and what he did. He decided to not follow vain jangling. He met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus and chose to heed the call. He chose to do what Jesus Christ gave him to do. Wow. And he never turned back. He forgot those things which were behind. And instead, he reached forth unto those things which are before. Paul's life would have been a vacuum if he just would have stopped doing the other. He filled it up. He reached forth. And it's in the reaching forth that allows the forgetting and the not going back to that which in the past. The reaching forth is the keeping of the hand to the plow, the bearing of the cross daily, the forgetting of the past, those things that are behind the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, we're following Him now. We're going forward with Him. We put off the past, the behind things. He is our forerunner into eternity, into the things not yet seen. Oh, you could be so proud of yourself because you walk a walk of faith, a life of faith. You step forth into that which is not seen, trusting that God will have it for you. You don't want it any other way. You don't want to walk by the finite. Oh, it's beautiful. You're beautiful. Principle. Faith attached to the truth of righteousness. There's an immutable law here. It's the law of non-attachments. Well, how about that? The law of non-attachments. You know what that states? It says detachment from outcomes allow you to experience true freedom and joy. Jerry was sharing some things with me the other day about detaching self from matters at hand. He also recently taught out of the book of Ecclesiastes about everything has a season. Talk about walls. Whoa, we could go through that one and really have a great time with the immutability of God. But the detachment from outcomes. Job stayed detached. Job could not, and we're going to go to Job chapter 27. Go ahead and turn to Job chapter 27. Job could not have lived his life without applying all of these principles. They were immutable. They were there back then. Job applied them. That's why he could say the things I'm about to show you. Job was able to detach from the outcomes he was experiencing in his life. He was able to experience true freedom and joy. Job chapter 27, I'd like to read verses 3 to 6. Job chapter 27, verse 3, all the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you. These are his miserable comforters. This is his wife that turned against him. These were all the neighbors. This was all anybody there. He couldn't have had more things turned against him with what Satan was doing through him indirectly through people with his empty vain jangling that they attached their faith to and believed. They lived a whole lifestyle of trying to crush Job. God forbid that I should justify you. He says, I will not justify you. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. My righteousness I hold fast. Don't give it away. Your faith, don't give it away. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. He did not allow his heart to lie to him. You know how the heart can come up with all the filler things? Job kept his mind full of God's word. He did not let these empty words come in and take over and then let his mind fill in the gaps and convince him that he was unjustified, that he was unrighteous, that he was a horrible person, that because he had all these things in sickness and lost everything and his family all died, that he had done something wrong. He says, I have not. I'm keeping my righteousness. I hold fast to it. He didn't let his mind get filled. He kept his faith attached to the truth that he was righteous. What a man that he did that. Job lost everything but two things. He kept his life and he kept his righteousness. All Satan's attempts at confrontations, word battles, physical, emotional, spiritual attacks, they failed to dislodge Job's righteousness, his belief of his righteousness. No matter what life presented to Job, he refused to unmix his faith from the truth of God's word. That sounds pretty Christ-like to me. How about you? Jesus Christ the same way. Whoa. Amazing. No matter what happened around him, Job believed in and trusted in God. It is not about looking at or looking back at life's skirmishes. We're going to go through stuff. We have gone through so many things. And should the Lord tarry, there may be more on the horizon. But that's not our focus. Our focus is on keeping our hand to the plow, holding fast to our righteousness, believing that God's got our back and He's taking care of us, past, present, and future. Our faith will remain mixed with the truth of God's Word. It's unmixed from God's Word. Unmixed faith is about looking forward to the promises of God. What else did Job have? He looked forward to it. He looked forward to Jesus' first coming, the first coming of the little baby Jesus that grew into Jesus Christ, that gave His life, that made available what we have now. It didn't even happen during Job's lifetime, but that's what he looked forward to, that thing that was invisible to him. He looked forward to it with all of his believing, all of his heart, and he was being slammed day and night. His faith was unmixed. What a great man. And he was able to do that because of the immutability of the laws God set up. Ezekiel chapter 14, principle, righteousness delivers. Righteousness delivers. There's an immutable law called the law of growth. The law of growth. It ties in with righteousness delivers. That law of growth states that personal development is a constant, necessary part of life. If you don't choose your challenges, they will choose you. In other words, that challenge was coming at Job whether he liked it or not. It wasn't something that he invited. It was something that Satan went to God for, and God gave him the liberty to do that, only not take his life. And Satan attacked full force. Job responded to that by choosing to face off to that challenge with what God's Word said. And he maintained that. He kept that. If you don't choose your challenges, they will choose you. So it's not about the challenge coming. It's about what you choose to do. And that's to hold fast to your righteousness. One simple thing. Can you do it? Well, you are doing it. You are doing it. Ezekiel chapter 14. I'd like to read verse 14. Ezekiel chapter 14 and in verse 14. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they were in the world, they were in the situations they were in, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. Well, Noah took him about 100 years to build that ark. He believed God's word. 100 years, he believed in his righteousness. He was a righteous preacher. He was a preacher of righteousness. He held forth that word. Anybody that came around him? Yeah. Daniel purposed in his heart not to be defiled by Nebuchadnezzar the king. And I was right along the lines with what Jerry was sharing a little bit earlier today. Let's eat pulse for 10 days and see if our men are better than your men that are eating meat all the time. And they did, and they were. And so Nebuchadnezzar changed the whole diet of the kingdom. Well, of the people that were his astrologers and soothsayers and prominent people that were his leadership. Yeah, it's pretty crazy, isn't it? But Daniel purposed in his heart, I'm not going to eat that, King Nebuchadnezzar. I don't want that. I want what I know to be good for me. And so he did. He ate the pulse, it says, the vegetables. And they were fairer and finer than the other men. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're the ones that were going to get thrown into the fiery furnace right there with Daniel in that arena. Not with Daniel in the fiery furnace, but he was right there when all that happened. They purposed in their heart they were not going to be defiled. They held fast to their righteousness. You ever walk into a fiery furnace holding fast to your righteousness? I mean, would not most people want to run screaming in the other direction? The people that threw them in the fiery furnace died as they were throwing them in the fiery furnace. So life's conflicts can get really fiery. But that's not the real issue. The real issue is maintaining our righteousness, holding it fast. Job stood through countless aggressions from life and from others. but they delivered their own souls because they maintained their righteousness. What a great example of just three people. Principle, fighting the good fight. Fighting the good fight as we close the teaching. There's a mutable law. It's called the law of relinquishment. The law of relinquishment. I'm repeating it, but it's letting go of what no longer serves you. It creates new or opens up space for new opportunities and growth. 2 Timothy chapter 4 as we close. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 6 to 8. Paul said in verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Now, this is in 2 Timothy. We were just in Ezekiel. We've been in Job. We've kind of gone through the old and the new to paint this picture. But in verse 6 of 2 Timothy 4, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." My life is about over, Paul said. Verse 7, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." But what about the prophet? Don't go to Jerusalem. And his daughters, don't go to Jerusalem, Paul. What about all this, the shipwreck? What about all the stuff that he experienced? The mishaps of life and the obstacles that happen in life are advances by Satan to try to destroy the move of God's word. They are separate. They are part of the fight. But maintaining and holding our righteousness is what we do. We're going to have the other, but that's not where our focus is. Paul said, "I fought a good fight." Sometimes we get involved with situations or with people. You know, Jerry, it was probably 40 years ago that you stated this, that we're just not going to go running after people to try to fix all their problems. They need to rise up and come to God's word. And we stop doing that. Let people live their own life. And there's never been one time since then that anybody that I know of in leadership, in our ministry, in the way that we all live our lives together, that we ever have gone and started confronting people for how they're living their life. It's up to them. We live our life the way we choose, but we're armed with God's word. And we all have chosen to hold fast to our righteousness. We all have fought a good fight. Paul said that about his life. And we know about what all happened with him. "I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." That's it. That's what it's all about. "Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Well, Paul let go of his past when he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. It was at this time that Paul detached from his past and reattached his faith to the things of God. He never turned back aside to his past. And there's a huge difference between life skirmishes experience, the faith-keeping fight, and our awaiting righteousness. There's a huge difference between these things. And no matter about life skirmishes, no matter miserableness experience, no matter the attempts to undermine our righteousness, God keeps track. He knows we have fought a good fight. We responded to that. It was freely given of God. And even in Jesus' ministry in the Gospels, many turned away. They did not want it. And it was a gift from God to learn about, to know, to accept, and to live according to this new way, the way of Jesus Christ and what he accomplished. Thank you, God, for that. Well, God knows we have fought a good fight. So we focus on plowing our straight rows in life and not on life's many skirmishes. "Henceforth, there is laid up for us a crown of righteousness, and also unto all them that also love his appearing." We do have control over our lives and the choices that we make. May we always hold fast to our righteousness. Amen.